Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year to all. 21 years strong. Welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 4th and 5th. And the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio whenever the season opens or reopens indeed calls for a new year celebration. Summer Flounder, AK Fluke, opens today. We're going to get right to a totally packed show. We're also going to be hammering on some drum there, banging on them a little later in the program. Right now, massive 39th annual customer appreciation tournament going on at Seguin Bay Sports and Center. I was off the grid, people, for about 4 or 5 days. Just trapped. No cell phone, no Instapam or whatever. Nothing. Come back, oh man, Captain Dave, the Rave Show, Absecon Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, and Absecon announced this several days ago. However, it is going on today, so early enough to get in. Captain Dave, tell us about this outrageously great tournament. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's always a Happy New Year when I'm talking to you, Tom.
But his sincerity knows no bounds.
Seriously, the big thing about this tournament, it's free. That's it. It's free. Just bring in a fish, and it's a grand slam. I'm counting five different fish that can qualify in a grand slam in South Jersey Back Bay. You got flounder, which is our number one target for today. You got striped bass, weak fish, blue fish, and then I'm adding a new one now because this has really come up in the last few years. Is the sheep's head? Sheep's head. We're a little early in the season, and if you see one, but everybody, the biggest of each of these five categories will win a $100 gift certificate from Absecon Bay Sportsman Center. Second place is 50, third place is 25. All you have to do is bring it in. We appreciate it if you go on the Facebook, look for Facebook, Absecon Bay. Just put your name, go to the event page, put your name on I'm going, give a comment that what you're going to catch is even better, but it's all there. Just get out, fish, and if you really are hardcore, I am running a Calcutta, $10 Calcutta for flounder, and you just come in, stop at the store, drop $10, bring the biggest fish in, and you're going to get a part of the prize, and it's all the prizes are online on Facebook, and it's a long thing because it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll go back to Tom, and we'll see where we're going from here.
Captain Dave, something about a raffle drawing, brother. What's up with that?
Yeah, we got raffles. Everybody that signs up in the store, you know, from you're running out of time, but yeah, it's Saturday morning. If you didn't hear it by now. You know, but just get out. Just bring in your fish. There will be a raffle drawn. If you get in, we hand you a ticket. Bring back a fish and weighs in. You know, I got some other gift certificates. I got a rod and reel, some other stuff. Kids, make sure your kids come in. I got some prizes for them. I got every kid that comes through the door all weekend long. I have a free ruler for, you know, an extension ruler so they can measure their fish to make sure they're legal. And if they're legal, make sure your kid takes them home and has a fish dinner because
excellent.
That's one of the things that really got me going in this sport. And it made me like fish, and supposedly it's better for you. I've been around the sun 70 times now, so.
I'm only a year behind you, Cap. One thing, too, do you have something going on for women anglers?
Yeah, we're throwing another one in. You know, another prize for, you know, for the biggest, you know, flounder anyway. I even forget. I got so much stuff I'm giving away that I don't even remember all the whole list.
Okay, listeners, get down to Absecon Bay Sports and 781 Natalie Terrace and Absecon. If you want to get in that raffle drawing, go on Facebook. It's free. Enter. Get in there. A lot of prizes. Going to be great fishing. Got a little cloudy, whatever. So go. Who cares if it rains? What? Go fishing. It's opening day of flounder. Captain Dave, I will see you sometime this week, man.
Okay, we'll be here, and we're always looking for you. And don't forget, end of this month, it's going to be those soft shells.
He got me. He nailed me there, man. He knows my proclivities. Real fast, Cap. We got about 30 seconds left. Give us a sugar update, my brother.
Well, she just got a haircut, so she's lean and mean right now. So watch out when you come through the door.
Okay, Cap, we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Yeah, great tournament. I had to jam that in opening segment. Hey, a lot of other stuff going on. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Full show, steam ahead. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Happy New Year.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Ma, is this how you feed a hamster?
I think so.
Is my homework right?
I think so.
Is this milk still good?
I think so.
When it comes to parenting, sometimes it's okay to think you know. But when it's something as important as your child's car seat, don't just think. Know. Double check if your child is in the right seat for their age and size. It'll help protect them in a car crash. Don't just think. Know by visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep, that is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
On day 185, LLS helped me file my insurance claims properly.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
Or late nights writing English papers.
Or your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen. And you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's.
The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers.
We can help you understand the disease
and give you tips for living a better life.
Find your answers at Parkinson.org or call 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
This is South Jersey's talk station. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That was Captain Dave the Rave Show. I had to make a very quick announcement on there. A couple of minutes. On, I can't believe, 39th annual Grand Slam Customer Appreciation Tournament. But the big focus is on the summer flounder. More importantly, the opportunities existing in the Back Bay. Well, I had the opportunity. I said, what a great shot this would be. Put a call in to Captain Stephen Bent, okay, formerly of Free Spirit Sport Fishing down there at Utch's Marina, and ace on the Delaware Bay Drum, also an offshore race, giant sea bass, tuna, what have you, is going between Utch's and up there in Margate. He is now on, I guess the lack of a better term, it'll do sport fishing charters, concentrating on Back Bay, but also getting out in front in his Key West. What I think 19-foot Key West by 8 feet wide, powered by a 115. It's just great to have Captain Steve on, and in a big change of pace, besides our normal acquaintances, how you doing? It is tactics for Back Bay flounder area rugs and doormats. Understand his biggest was in the Back Bay, over 12 pounds. Captain Steve Bent, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio. Been a long time, my brother.
Yeah, I've been too damn long, Tommy. How are you doing today? Oh. You sound like you got it wound up pretty good.
As usual, Cap. It's a happy new year. You know, I love my back bay fluking. Cap, well, your reputation with the drum and the offshore stuff has been stellar, second to none. The transition, Cap, I know you said you were getting out of the big boat business. Some say, oh, Steve Bentz retiring. I said, that guy's never going to retire. It's not in his bones. It's not in his blood. Explain that transition, and let's get to some back bay tactics for a big fluke. Go!
Well, I was getting a little long in the tooth, and I said to myself, it's costing me a lot of money to own this big boat. And, you know, I said, maybe I should do something different. So I did sell it, and as a matter of fact, it's sailing around Marina Del Rey in Los Angeles right now, and still catching fish. How many Calvin Beals have you seen or heard of that have caught fish in both oceans? But anyway, while I was waiting to sell it, I bought a new boat. I bought a little boat. You know, Tommy, about 40 years ago, I started in the back bay. I had a little 20 Mako that I ran around the back bay and ran out front and...
I never knew that. I figured you were in a Beal. Yeah. You were in a Beal beast.
Yeah, well, there was a few boats in there. But anyway, I was running so small. I had a 25 park or two. But this is a little smaller than that. And like I say, it's not 34 foot long. It's only 19. But the name tells you it all. It'll do. And I think it will do. I'm looking forward to it. I've done a little fishing up there in the the back bay's already, and up the river toward Beasley's Point, we've been catching some very nice stripers.
He ain't lying, people. I'm seeing the photos. He ain't lying.
Well, I never lie. I just don't always tell it exactly. Well, anyway, hey, there was a big bluefish up there too, Tommy. Like 10, 12 pound bluefish up there.
I love those gators, man. Gators, slammers, right there. They're just so much fun.
Right up to the point when they bite you off at the side of the boat.
And there goes the plug.
Now that we were catching them on live eels. But
oh, eeling with feeling with Captain Steve.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's weird is, you know, you always say, oh, you fish around the bridges and all. Yeah, but we were in like 8 feet of water. We were up on the flats. You'd see a patch of, and that's another thing, too, when we're fluking in the, and that, you know, when you're fluking in the back bay, it's not just fluking. Because in the back bay, you can catch just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know the old adage, if you find the bait, you find the fish. Well, we found the bait up on the flat. Water temperature up there was 66 degrees. Tight.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, on
that's
the outgoing
prime time,
side,
man, prime
sun.
Time.
Yeah, well, it was cooler than that, of course, you know, early in the tide on the incoming. But when it started off, it was pretty good. You know, we didn't catch a lot of fish. We had a few fish, but we had a good time, I'll tell you. Anyway, that's that.
Well, Cap, on the it'll do, I mean, you have this Key West. It's, again, 98-foot beam. You have it pretty well tricked out. Are you ready to go, lock, stock, and barrel?
Well, if I was any more ready, I'd be fishing, Tommy. Yeah, it is.
Instead of talking to me.
I have, of course, that excellent Raymarine Electronics on board. And I have just about everything I had on the big boat, except I don't have the deep water trip. But I really don't think I'm going to get in the water deep enough to worry about that. But so, Tommy, tell me something. How many 19-foot boats you know have autopilot?
None.
Oh, you know one.
Well, yeah, two now. You told that to us.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's smaller, but like I say, it'll do, and it seems to be doing. I put a Minn Kota trolling motor on that thing, and
game changer, Steve.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We were fishing yesterday, and I could just follow a line right down an edge with that thing. It was pretty neat. I'm looking forward to getting down to the fluke with that. And I think it's going to be a happening thing. I've heard there's some fluke in the back bays now. I heard them, in the typical shallower spots. They've been catching a few fluke. I guess guys looking for other things. But there's been some weak fish back there, too.
talking to a guy the other day had a 23-inch weakfish on one of them rubber things that, you know, with a swimmy tail on it.
So. A paddle tail, that's right. We're speaking with Captain Steve Bent. It'll do, Cap is a formal name. It'll do sport fishing charters, or just it'll do with Captain Steve Bent. What's the dealio?
Well, whatever you want. It'll do sport fishing is the actual name of the website I'm setting up.
Cap, you have
which isn't quite done yet because I have to get pictures from this boat. It's kind of hard to talk about Back Bay fishing when all you have is tuna fish pictures and drum fish and stuff.
This is true. Well, Cap, let's start to key in on spots for these early arrivals and some big flounder in the back, Cap. My best, again, I always say a shout-out this time of year, Captain Acquadelli on a Bayhound way back when behind, Townsend's Inlet, Avalon. Cap, there are some area rugs and doormats in the back at this time, are there not?
Yeah, from what I understand, and I believe this, Tom, because I'll tell you, I heard that I was told that the bigger fish move in early, and I've always found that to be true. Lots of times you're out there drifting and you catch a fish that, you know, the season's not open on yet, but that's another story. But they move in to breed, to spawn, rather, I believe, and I believe that because later on, like in June, middle of June, I'll catch fluke, or I'll catch a striper, or I'll catch a weak fish. Of course, weak fish are a little fewer and far between, but we still get them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll spit up about a 2.5 or 3-inch flounder. I go, well, where the hell did that come from?
Uh-huh.
And then I check the birds and the bees, and I figured it out. So,
Cap, are you targeting specific areas now in the back? Channel edges, holes, and they do come up on the flats. I've seen Fluke, shout out to Chuck for Rims. I've seen him catch flounder on crab flies, shallow water. So where are these fish? I want to tell keepers. Where are these keepers moving? What areas are in their fancy right now?
Well, if I could tell you where the keepers were in the Back Bay or anywhere else, I'd make a lot of money.
I had to hit him with that one.
Yeah. Basically, what I found is you can be fishing along. You mentioned I did have one 12-4 many, many moons ago. I've had a couple over 10. But it wasn't like you're targeting this big fish and it eats. The biggest fish I caught ate a 1/4-ounce bucktail with a piece of squid on it.
There you go.
So, you're fishing for fluke, and you know what? They're going to eat what you have down there, hopefully. And you've got a rig that you've designed or bought or whatever that works. I kind of like a rig where you'll have like a bucktail on the bottom, and you can put a piece of gulp on that. Or, you know, hey, you know what? One of the best fluke baits is in the back bag, and people don't even know about it, Tom.
What's that?
That shark. Sand shark.
Strip of,
whatever
strip,
you want to
strip
call
it. Strip of dogfish.
Dogfish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me, Bent. You and the next guest coming on, keep me on to that way back when in the early 90s. And that is still our, you know, keep it freaking quiet bait.
Yeah. Well, that's like what we call a forever bait.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because you can use it today, and then if they don't, and they can't chew it off.
They can't chew it.
You can use it tomorrow. And if you put it in the freezer, you can have it for a week or two. But maybe not, but. But the neat thing about it is it goes on the hook. Try to get it off the hook. That's a tough part. You need the skin on it. And you just strip it out like you would any other bait, the white part or the gray part. People go, well, the gray part don't work. Well, yes, it does. Lots of times these fish are feeding by smell, too, which is why the gulp works so well. And, and there's one thing you get from the shark is you do get a lot of smell. But, I think one of the mistakes people make is fishing too big a bucktail or too big a paddle tail or, you know, too big a jig head with a piece of gulp on it. I always thought when I do it, I try to fish the lightest, whatever the lure is, that'll stay down because, if you put something heavy on there, let's say you're fishing 3/4, that doesn't seem heavy, but in 12 feet of water it is. And if you put that down there, then you start dredging the bottom and you start hanging up on stuff and you start having to buy new ones. And So I try to make it so that whatever rig is down there is just kind of sliding along and coming up off the bottom a little bit. And not slamming the bottom, but ticking the bottom. And above it, I'll put a leader back, probably, 18, 20 inches sometimes, almost like a chicken rig, they call it. And on that, you could put a minnow or your squid or whatever. But I'll tell you, the gulp works pretty good on that. That money penny shrimp or...
New penny.
That's James Bond. I'm okay.
Cap, hold that thought. I want to get you in the next segment. We're speaking with Captain Steve Bent, formerly of Free Spirit Sport Fishing. And now it'll do sport fishing. Oh, this is going to be fun. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back with Captain Steve Bent. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station. Bullet Points.
I'm Eben Brown. Guess which city is seeing a giant spike in the number of people applying for firearms permits? New York City, the one whose restrictive carry laws and permitting standards were rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court and who's now fighting in the Supreme Court yet again to uphold additional gun restrictions created after the previous ones were overturned. More than 13,000 New Yorkers applied for pistol permits in 2023. That's a little less than double from 2022. And more than 3,000 have applied in the first few months of this year alone. So why do so many people want to legally own a gun in New York City? Mayor Eric Adams can't say, but it's been lucrative so far. The NYPD charges more than $300 to process a permit. That's at least $200 more than the initial fee in Florida. New York City will make more than $6 million this fiscal year. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go to the cap below. We are back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 4th and 5th. Again, a Happy New Year weekend to all opening summer flounder today. Don't forget, Captain Dave the Rave Show of Seeking Bay Sports Center. That crazy, crazy 39th annual Customer Appreciation Day Grand Slam tournament is going on as we see. Get down there, register, go in there free, and loads of prizes. Go catch some fish. Join us on a live, very special guest, Captain Steve Bent, talking Back Bay Flounder. Well, Cap, let's get down to it. You say you like the lighter bucktails, the lighter jig heads, the smaller baits. Tackle, Cap, are you really an a light line thing, maybe 6 or 10 pound braid? What kind of leader? And when it comes to leader, Cap, fluorocarbon necessary, in your opinion, in the back?
Well, I'll tell you, Tommy, I fish in the Back Bay and almost everywhere now except trolling offshore, which, as you know, we did a little of. I fish braid, and I like to fish braid for several reasons. One reason is it stays down better than monofilament.
Mm-hmm.
I can fish like 20-pound braid or 15-pound braid back there, and it gets a bait down quicker. But also it gives you a feeling, a sensitivity to a bite or a strike or a miss or the bottom that you don't get with your monofilament. But I do use, when I make my rigs, I do use fluorocarbon. Why? Well, it's better as far as abrasion goes. And they say they can't see it, but that's okay. It's also a little bit stiffer than monofilament. So if you're going to throw a loop on there and put a bait off the top, like I talked about, like with a little chicken rig,
mm-hmm.
It stands out better. So I do that. I use that. And yeah, a lot of times fishing in the Back Bay, even fishing out in the ocean, guys will tell you, and I'll tell you now, if you've got a rig down there with a setup like a chicken rig or what you want everybody to call it, top and bottom rig that you've adapted a little bit, they eat the top bait.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
flounder,
yes.
Flounder are ambush feeders, and they don't just eat something when slides by in front of their nose. They're looking up all the time. And when they look up and they see something come by that looks delicious, that's the best way to catch them because there's none of this, gee, I'll just grab it and hang on it. When it's going by and it's 18 inches above their head, they go up and eat the damn thing. And he got him on. You know, it's what I call my suicide fluke.
Mm-hmm.
So now, where you're going to catch him here early is one of the things is water temperature. I think if you're fishing in an area and the water temperature, you go back into the Back Bay. Yesterday, we found water temperatures everywhere from 54 degrees toward the inlet to 66 degrees on the outgoing up in the up the river a little bit, the flats behind Ocean City. And it's an amazing thing. You get it. You don't have to be in 20 feet of water this time of year because, you know, the deeper the water, the colder it is.
Exactly right, yeah.
And I think if you get a sunny day and you can fish, the time that I like to fish these fish normally is like from about 2 hours before the high to 2 hours after the high. But this time of year where the water's cold, you're almost better to start fishing like just about the top of the tide and fish it off, because as the day goes on, especially beautiful sunny days like we've had here mm-hmm. recently, the water gets warmer. And when the water gets warmer, they get more active. And I'm watching the sounder all the time, and I'm trying to fish an edge because, you know, if you're only fishing in 5-6 feet of water, sooner or later, when the tide drops out, they're going to slide back into that deep. But you fish the edge, and that seems to be, it's like the same thing offshore, you know. You find some right. structure, you find the bait. And I watch that sounder because I'm not quite sure what the bait is that I see back there all the time. I don't think it's bunker yet, but it may be bay anchovies or
spearing,
something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right.
But if you find the bait, like I said earlier, you find the fish, and that's what I've been doing.
Gap, let me interrupt you for a second. The when you say bottom shells, whatever, any kind of structure out front, structure in the back, mostly. Again, shout out to crew there. On do you actively search out like things like mussel beds or roots or anything like that? Open bottom, because I've caught fish over open bottom, and then you know snagging up, and they're in the thick, nasty, gnarly stuff. Anything early in the season, particular cover that you would concentrate on?
Well, I would look to fish in the shallow area that comes up against the deep. You know, like if you have a slough, mm-hmm. The water in the slough will be a little cooler, but the shallower areas around them, the fish will come out to feed, I believe. But I like the idea of a change in depth, because with a change in depth, you know, it lets you fish a little longer, too. You don't run aground quite as easily.
Mm-hmm.
But
he said that for my benefit. We'll leave it at that, people.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say any more about that, Tom. But
Cap, can you help me, Cap?
Myself.
Cap, can you help me?
Yeah,
God,
well,
sorry about that.
No, I think if you look on a chart, on your, and you know these charts that you have on these multifunction displays today, the Navionics charts and stuff mm-hmm. like that, they've got a fishing mode on them that actually gives you great contours of the bottom, even in the Back Bay. You know everybody knows about them out front, but I use them in the Back Bay too. And they give you, they're not perfect, but they give you a pretty good idea of where it's starting to fall off and where it's, you know, and where it's getting high or where it's getting low.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference sometimes. Oftentimes when you're on a turn, you know, in the Back Bay, you have the, let's say a turn to the right, in the waterway, outside of it, the part that as you're turning to the right would be on your left, that will have often a deeper edge than the inside,
okay.
because the current flows around there and keeps and moves the mud out a lot better than it does on the inside of the turn. So we call it, you know, you look fish along the outside of the turn, and I think that's important too. It also keeps from running aground, but we don't need to talk about that.
So. Okay, Steve. So, Captain Steve Bent, one thing I want to ask you in closing, we're up against a hard break here. Cap, your take on going back to the 3-18, you know, size limit and possession limit. What's your thought on that?
Well, Tom, you probably know for about 20 years I've been a member of the Recreation Advisory Committee of the state of New Jersey. And what happens is that ASPBA comes in and tells us, okay, here's the choices you can have. And so what we try to do is choose the least, shall we say, smelly choice.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, we really don't have too much choice in what we can do. But the thing we need to be careful of is that we don't overfish. And if you have, a lot of, like last year, the year before, was it last year, I guess, you could keep one 17 inches or something like that, or 17 to 17.99. Yeah. Well, what happened there was a lot of guys were, I think, discarding a lot of fish and what have you. So they said, well, let's go back to this. I don't like the idea of 18 inches because everything 18 inches or more, 95% of them are females.
Females, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It seems that if it was 17 inches, by the middle of the summer, you'd say, gee, there aren't any fish around because they caught all the keepers. You know, if it was
well put.
16 inches.
Well
you know,
put, Ben. Well put.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Captain.
I have no problem with it. As a matter of fact, I supported it.
Thanks for your input on that. Captain Steve, before we leave, how about availing the people to find out more about It'll Do Sport Fishing with Captain Steve Bent? Go.
Yeah, well, Tom, the best way to get a hold of me is to call me on my cell phone, 609-703-6639. I always have that with me, and the way I've been either fishing or doing something on the boat or playing golf when it's blowing, I always have the phone with me. And I do have a few 4-hour trips, you know, with both sides of the tide and stuff like that. Take families fishing, take kids out bending a rod, have a good time. And I think it's going to be a great idea for getting away from, you know, running a 16-hour tuna trip. So.
Captain Steve, you said that. Well, thanks much for joining us, Captain Steve. Glad to have you back on Rack and Fin Radio. We'll be calling you periodically for some fishing reports. Is that a dealio?
And no problemo, brother.
Take care, Cap. Best of the family. See you soon.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Captain Steve Bent, a legend, man. He is. Up against a break. Oh, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
In a world full of fake news, AI, and unverified information on social media, where can you get the latest, most accurate South Jersey news? WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Don't wait for the newspaper to come in the mail. The WPG Talk Radio app is updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Accurate, dependable, reliable. When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. Palestinians in Rafah are bracing for potential military action by Israel. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration still hasn't seen a plan from Israel.
We have said, and you all have heard us say, there's more than a million Palestinian civilians living and seeking refuge in Rafah, and we want to make sure that they are their lives are protected.
Now, it remains unknown if Israel's military will go into Rafah. Heavy rains and floods in Houston forcing evacuations Friday. Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
We're focusing on the Kingwood area. Sometimes Kingwood feels like it's been overlooked or forgotten. Not the case. We're going to focus our resources and personnel here, and we'll do whatever's necessary to respond to some dangerous circumstances.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, cloudy and cool, a stray shower this afternoon with a high of 60. For tonight, cloudy skies with a low of 50. For tomorrow, occasional rain showers with a high of 62. Tomorrow night, cloudy with occasional rain with a low of 58. On Monday, humid with a couple of morning showers and times of clouds and sunny afternoon with a thunderstorm in spots, high 78. I'm AccuWeather's Kayla Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Let's get to, okay, there was been a bite on and off in Great Bay, a little intense bite up there in Barnegat Bay, certain regions of Barnegat Bay, with the black drum. But we all know Delaware Bay is the place to play these drum, big drum. And who other than Captain Bob Cope, the drum major, full ahead sport fishing out of Utch's Marina in Cape May. Shout out to Ernie Etch there and his brother, man. Two guys. These guys are timeless. They look the same. These guys never age. Captain Bob is on the line right now. Let's talk some early going Delaware Bay drum. Captain Kobe, glad to have you on Rock and Finn. Long time, brother. What's happening?
Well, we're getting ready to go drum fishing now, Tom. There's a few been caught already. We just wound up the black this season, so a couple little things due to the boat. We start in full earnest on Friday night.
Gab, you were laying it down some big ass tog, huh?
It was good. It was an okay season, off and on. Had some good days, some bad days. I stayed mostly inshore. Nothing really big. 7, 8, 9 pounds, the biggest fish. There were some bigger fish caught by the guys fishing offshore, though, for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. Hey, people, I'm 2.5-2 pound tog, man, going in the frying pan. I'm happy with that. Well, Cap, let's get to the Black Drum, Delaware Bay. You've been down there doing this for 18, 20 years. You're one of the best at it, Cap. You've seen the ups and downs. Overall, how was last year's drum fishery?
Last year, I would give it an okay at best.
Any idea what was going on? Conditions?
Don't know. We saw a lot of them. We heard them every night. They didn't want to eat. I don't know why. What went wrong, but it was just tough to get around any bite of circumstance last year. You know, you had a good night last year was 5, 6 fish. A lot of nights you had 2, 3 fish.
Wow.
Very few nights you didn't catch any, but it was just, it wasn't the grind out. It was a grind for sure. It wasn't like it's been in years past, but we'll see what happens this year. They're hearing them already. Guys on the surf waiting at night are hearing them drumming around them in the surf pit.
They are here.
Friends of mine have caught some already, so we're gonna start probably Friday. We're gonna go on their first trip.
They're on a move up. Well, Cap, now will they be appearing in schools of the same size or their mixed sizes? And listen, you have to feel when the drummer near the boat, you feel it. You feel it on the floor of the boat, man. The booming, whatever. Captain, I go, we've caught some with you that were 25, 30, 40 pounds, and the next thing, you're 60, 70 pounds. How do they travel, and what are they, when they're booming, people say, oh, they're looking for love or whatever. Do they feed when they're on the move like that?
I like to hear them for the customer's sake. I don't like to hear them for the catching them's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I think they bite much better when you don't hear them. I also believe that when they're booming, they're up in the water column. They're not down on the bottom where you need them to be to catch them.
And Cap, so clamp now to the basic rig for these drum, guys use various baits, crabs, whatever. Is clam the jam for these things?
Clam seems to be the best, but the crab has taken a big hold. Guys are catching them on the female blue claws. It seems to be the best crab to use, half a crab. Cheddar crabs work really well, but at the price of cheddar crabs now, pretty expensive to put one cheddar crab on a hook and have a dogfish eat it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, how about a third mortgage on that one? Now, Cap, these fish now, we've caught them as shallow as, 6, 7 feet deep. Are they running the channel edges? Or are they moving up closer to the flats in this spring migration? What's the deal?
It seems like more and more we're catching them on this side, and they run the edges of the channels, and they get up the top of the sloughs and hang up in a shallow water. You know, you can catch them 5, 6 feet of water some days.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we average fishing in, like, I'd say 12 to 20 feet.
Yeah, the past few years, it seems to be a little variation from the norm. As always, when they show up at Slaughter Beach over in Delaware, then they'll be here. Has that changed at all? I mean, are they here first, then over the Delaware side? What's the deal?
Well, we don't really know what goes on in Delaware anymore because everybody got tired of paying Delaware $300 for a license to go over there. So nobody is. It's $300 for a charter boat, $600 for a party boat. It's insane. New Jersey doesn't charge them to come over here. They come over here for free. So we've all stopped basically going over there, and it always started traditionally earlier over there. The water's warmer sooner because it's so much shallow water above where they fish. And I do hear of a few getting caught on the beach over there already. So they're in the bay. It's just a question of we see these sunny days like we've had the last few days and get that water up 58, 60 degrees, and they'll start to chew.
That's the key. We're speaking with Captain Bob Cope, Fullhead Sport Fishing out of the famous Utch's Marina in Cape May. Cap, your setup for the drone, I see you use conventional and sometimes you have spinning on there. What's the best, the most, especially with a big fish, Cap? And I got to talk the end game. Yeah, this is big game fishing. You see the people walking on the beach sometimes. You're that close. You got 50, 60, 70-pound fish up to that boat side, Bob. What do you do?
Well, I like fishing conventionals. I give all the customers, if they don't bring their own equipment, I give them, pen rod, pen reel, and put it to work. And it's much easier to fight a big fish on a conventional reel with the rod butt stuck in your hip than it is to fish with the rod under your arm and have to fight it with a spinning rod. Just doesn't wear you out as much. I fish jigging rods. They're not real heavy-duty rods, the same rods I see bass fish with. You can beat these fish on pretty much any tackle if you have patience.
Yeah, what pound braid are you using? You are using braid, I assume.
Oh, yeah, I'm using 50, 60-pound braid, 60-pound leaders. They're not leader shy.
So no need for fluorocarbon, you're using stiff mono, or you're using fluoro?
I use regular line off the spool for 60-pound test, Suffolk line, or whatever I can get my hands on. It don't matter. They're not leader shy. You don't need to use fluorocarbon to catch these fish. You're fishing in a mud puddle anyway, so they can't see it.
What do they say about Delaware Bay, Cap? If it's green, it's clean? Man, that water is gnarly.
I've caught him. It looked like you had to take a shovel to dig a hole in the water to get the bait to get in the water, and you still catch them. They're definitely they feed off their nose. So, they'll find it if it's there. The dirty water does not bother them at all.
Cap, the circle hook game now?
I've been using circle hooks for years. Mm-hmm. If you just let them swim away with it, you catch 95% of the bites.
Cap, these things, when you got that tidal pull going on several knots, and you have a big fish, and I'm talking big, not big to cope, you have to understand that, but to me, 40, 45, 50 pounds and larger, with that broom-sized tail, Cap, that is a hell of a pull, is it not?
Oh, they get behind a boat. I've got some videos of guys catching 50, 60-pound fish in a ripping current, and they just get behind that boat, and they lay there, and they get sideways, and every time they flap that tail, they get 10 feet of line, and it's tough. It's just a patience. It's a game of patience. That's why you got to fish the heavier braids so you don't break them off in that condition.
That's one of the things I always said. Guys say, oh, you black drum, black drum, they don't fight. And you just look at the guys. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, they're like an old boot. And you say, these guys obviously never caught decent-sized drum. Cap, worried when you have big fish, like up boat side, do you have huge net? What's the deal?
Well, if we're keeping them, we gaff them. If we're not keeping them, we net them. I'll reach over the side and grab them and just let them hook them on the side of the boat. You can get a hold of them usually. They're pretty tired by the time they get there. But, destroy a net.
Yeah, I saw that. And a release mortality thing, Cap, lip hooked, jaw hooked with the circle hook. These things are pretty hardy, are they not? Or is it a fact that a big, big fish, you try to get it in fast, not fight it that long? Is there that possibility of, fish is going to croak?
I think the smaller fish go back better. The big fish, a lot of times you'll see them, you'll put them back in water, they swim away, and 5 minutes later they pop up behind a boat again. I try to get them to the boat as quick as I can, especially when the bigger ones are around and we get in a little deeper water. I think the mortality rate of release is pretty bad, in my opinion.
Captain, speaking with Captain Bob Cope, Full Head Sport Fishing out of Utch's Marina, it's Delaware Bay Bite is just beginning for the drum. You beat these things, they are a lot of fun, big fish, good fight. And I will say this, guy. You can't eat drum. They're full of worms. Up your giggy with a lighted ciggy. That's not the case. Cap, all the drum I caught with you and Bent, all these captains, I think I've seen worms in the tail section twice. I haven't seen that, man. Have you? I mean, you got a lot more experience than me, but I've never had a problem with it.
Maybe 15% of the fish have worms in them. Maybe. And if they have them, it's in the tail section.
Right.
Always, they're in a spot the size of a quarter. They're not spread all over the meat. People eat codfish and all that, cold water fish, and they got worms all through them.
I call bacalao a worm fillet. Well, Cap, let me tell you something. drum are, again, they're a pain in the ass, but you can't play them. Their scales like tarpons, like guitar picks, what have you. Yeah, I watched Captain Bob Cope skin them expertly. Bob, the meat to me, began predicated, because of their diet with the crabs, the clams, the oysters, what have you, the shellfish, their meat is like steak. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, it's the old myth, everybody. You can't eat them. They're full of worms. If you bleed them when you catch them, bleeding them's very crucial.
Very
if you don't
yeah,
bleed
yeah.
them when you catch them, it looks like you're in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, they have some blood in them. We slit their throat, hang them over the side, let them bleed out, let them lay there, and the meat's fine, and it's very good. I like eating drum fish. I love the ribs.
Oh, the
But, you know, we had people last year. We gave it to them, didn't tell them. We just told them we were having fish, invited a bunch of people to the house, and they started eating the drum fish and said, this fish is pretty good, and we told them they ate drum fish. And they all swore they'd never eat it, but they all ate it.
And there you go.
And they went back for seconds.
I love it anyway. You can steak it. You can make it parm. I made the popper. One time I called Cope, my former abode. Hey, Cope, he's out of boat. Hey, Cope, these things. He said, yeah, they're pretty good eating, aren't they? That was my first thing with the drum. Cap, before I let you go, prime times for the drum, you always hear you have to fish at night. True or false?
False.
There we go. Afternoons, outgoing, incoming, what?
Right now, the fish have been caught on the flood tide, incoming. That'll change, and it'll depend on what the moon is and where the moon is. It's the tide that runs into the evening is usually the best tide to catch them. And like you'll notice with a full moon, high water will be right around dark, almost always. It's amazing how that happens. It'll be right around between 8 and 9 o'clock at night usually, and that seems to be the tide that generates them. You'll catch them in the dark if you want to sit out there all night in the dark. You'll catch some. There's no doubt. The degree of difficulty goes way up. You know, if there's a lot of sharks around, then it becomes a real pain fishing in the dark with sharks because you're tangled all the time. It's a nightmare. It's not even fun. It's like, let's go home.
Yeah. Okay, Captain Cope, before I let you go, your thought on the conservation of the black drum 3. It's 16 inches. You always hear that gives, the shorebound angler, the gal off the dock, would have a chance to get the drum. The populations, in your experience, have seemed pretty steady?
It comes and goes. It fluctuates up and down. I mean, it's the perfect example. They have done nothing with this fishery since I got involved with it, and it's been a long time. When I first started, it was a challenge to catch one. And the rules were the same back then. They didn't do anything. They left it alone, and it's fine.
There you go.
Because look at there's fish in Barnegat Bay now. There's fish in the Great Bay. 15 years ago, if you caught one up there, it made the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah. That's vintage Captain Cope. Leave it alone. It'll be fine. Well, Cap, thanks for joining us. I'm going to have you back on Rack and Fin Radio. Hope to squeeze a trip. If there's ever a cancellation, because Cope is booked through, 2028?
Oh, not that bad, but it's this year's. There's like six openings between now and Christmas.
Hey, Cap, let me tell you one thing before I let you go. I've never seen anyone, except for me maybe, go around a boat show so thoroughly and as quickly as you do in so many rounds. You were all over that AC show, man.
I go to say hello. You know, I'm no longer involved in the tackle industry. I'm just doing strictly charters, and I just go to say hello to the guys I know and I've known for years, and little by little, it's less and less of those guys there. Everybody's retiring, you know. So
we can relate, Cap. We can relate. Cap, you take care. Best of the family. See you on the water.
All right, Tommy. Take care. Yeah.
Great guy. God, Bent and Cope. Bang, bang. Beat that. Beat those drum. Clean those area rugs and doormats. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Wrapping it up. This New Year's weekend, me, Tom P., Rock and Fin Radio, May 4th and 5th. It's opening day weekend. Happy New Year, summer flounder going on. Hey, just great news coming up. Jersey's own. This is great because I've known the guy for many years, starting industry, hungry. The kid is hungry, and he still has the appetite of Gigantor when it comes to the TV gig. Nick Honoszewski, host of Saltwater Underground, is now or soon going to be the most widely broadcast fishing show. Capture Nicky for about 2.5-3 minutes. He's going to be off fishing is what he does. Captain Nicky, how you doing, man?
What's up, Todd?
Actually, I'm not going to call you a captain. I'm not going to call you a comic. I'm going to call you Admiral of the Waves, baby. So, Nick, congratulations. You're Waypoint Sportsman's Channel. You're all over the place. Go into the expansion. What do you got?
Yeah, so now Saltwater Underground is on Discovery Channel, Sportsman's Channel, Waypoint TV, and World Fishing Network. And, you know, now that we got fluke season open on Saturday, if you guys want to tune in, I believe our fluke episode is going to be running. Get some tips and tactics there.
Nick, I'll tell you, by the way, there's a great article in the Fisherman magazine, Back Bay, Shallow Water Fluke, and Nick, you got it nailed. Now, you catch up, you catch a shark, the tuna, blah, blah, blah. You always seem to have an affinity for the flounder, the big ones, man. Was that from when you were a little kid?
I mean, I think everyone started out fluke fishing, you know? I mean, that's the fish that drives the tourist industry in the summertime, you know? But, I'll be out there in the morning. You'll catch me on one of the rivers in the morning going for fluke this Saturday, that's for sure.
Hey, Nicky, the grind of the TV biz, you know what it is? Keeping the ideas fresh, keeping the action going, keeping the viewers' interest. You seem to have it dialed in, man.
Yeah, where do you see if you guys tune in on we're on Sportsman's Channel 8 a.m. on Sunday and 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, but you guys got to see this year's episode. We did some really insane footage with surf stripers. We're catching over 100 bass on a blitz. Just to get you guys amped for the striper run in Raritan Bay, I took Jake the Snake Roberts out as a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah. You two psychos in the boat.
It's awesome.
Well, little brother, I just want to say congratulations, man. You paid your dues. You keep the ideas fresh, and the man is active on the water. Hey, Nick, hey, Patrick, what's up? Hold on, I got a fish. And he was gone. Had to call him back. Then he sends me the photo of a 25, 30-pound bass he caught. His man is there. Well, Nick, again, congratulations on the expansion. Man, your horizons just keep expanding. I'm really proud of you, man.
I appreciate it, Tags. I learned from watching you, all right?
Yeah. How did he lose that fish? That's what he learned. How? Nick, you take care, man. Best of all. See
you. Thanks, Tom. You see you, brother. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, when he started, man, a yellow Jeep, no doors, no windows, no windshield, man. It was crazy. Hey, it's almost last of the South Jersey Trout Stocking, week 5, May 6th through the 10th on Monday. This coming Monday, can't fish till 5 p.m. The North Branch of Matitecock gets 320. The South Branch gets 500, and the Toms River gets 530. And on Thursday, the Morris River, 330, and the Cohansie River, 100. Now, one more week two more weeks for the Matitecocks and the Toms River. In closing, rain or shine, next Saturday, May 11th, the Nesco All-Around Sportsman Annual Pickerel Tournament. Big Country, where were you, man? Been trying to reach you. Listen, payout for the top three. Weighing begins at 3 p.m. Scales close at 5 p.m. sharp. No exceptions. You want to mess with these guys, you get there. No exceptions. The location is at 220 The Lane in Hamilton. Sign up at the Nesco Liquor Store, 3180 Nesco Road in Nesco. I go right past them. I went to hook around, whatever that road is. Get on 206 and get to the great Piccalilli Inn. Now, the tournament is in memory of Bill Nicholson. Okay, now you must be registered by 6 p.m. on Friday, May 10th. Contact Ed Hagman. It's Big Country's data. Get 609-661-5912. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Really, Jim, get out there and enjoy. Happy New Year to all. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Remember, you're not promised tomorrow. Get out and enjoy. See you next Saturday, Rack and Fin Radio. Too much fun. Happy New Year.